Welcome to the Path to Profit podcast with your hosts, Dr. Manette Riordan and Brad Dobson. Hi, and welcome again to the Path to Profit podcast. I'm here with my wife, Dr. Manette Riordan. I'm Brad Dobson, and we are super happy to introduce Lucy McMonagle to you today. And welcome, Lucy.
Thank you. I'm so grateful that you're having me on the Path to Profits.
So, you know, it's so fun to have these conversations. So Lucy and I met at the Public Speakers Association conference in Palm Springs this summer, and the conversation started for there. She came to my event. Yesterday, we recorded a show for her podcast, Wealthy Wednesdays, which is an awesome show to check out on iTunes.
It's a love fest.
It is totally a love fest. And one of the things, you know, if you've been thinking about starting a podcast and you're worried about where you're going to find guests, it's actually really fun to connect with people. And it's a great way to build relationships. Lucy and I are going to, I'm sure, do all kinds of fun things together in the future, as well as what we've done so far. And as always on our show, we like to start with a quote. And so this one struck me for today. If you really want to do something, you will find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse, by Jim Rohn. So that kind of will set the stage for our conversation with Lucy today around money, which is one of our favorite topics.
Oh, yeah.
And one of Lucy's favorite topics as well.
Definitely.
And she has her unique approach to it. So let me share with you a little bit about Lucy. Lucy McMonagle is a world-renowned person of influence. She's an amazing community builder. She's known as the go-to person for women who are ready to transform their lives with abundance breakthroughs, to have money miracles. I love money miracles. She's a transformational abundance breakthrough coach, host of the Wealthy Wednesday show, and an international best-selling author. She transformed her poverty-stricken life that was filled with childhood tragedies and traumas into a life of abundance, wealth, and happiness. She has manifested millions in her life while working part-time by mastering the art of abundance. She empowers women to live a spiritual, practical, and powerful life so they can have more money, more freedom, and more joy while having a greater impact in reaching their heart's desires. Welcome, Lucy.
Welcome.
Wow, thank you so kindly. I appreciate you, Manette, and I appreciate both of you for having me on the show.
Oh, we're super, super excited to have you. So before we dive into the questions, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life and in your world right now. What are you up to?
Right now, I am creating an Abundance Breakthrough Summit, and I'm having phenomenal guests. It's going to be launching in January.
Good stuff.
Yes, it's really good stuff. We're really working on getting the best experts and getting the best knowledge to individuals. So it's in one place.
Awesome.
Rather than having to do Google searches over and over to find the information on how to have an abundance breakthrough. And the other things that I have in the works is I have a Facebook group for money, magic, and women's mysteries. It's for women only. And it's,
sorry, Brad.
That's okay.
People want to have miracles and magic in their life by returning back to their soul intuitive self. And that's on Facebook. And then the other thing that I have going on is I'm going to be starting a new group program called The Voice of Money in February.
Nice. The Voice of Money, which leads right in to my first question. I love that. And by the way, go check out our Facebook group because it's super cool. We'll put a link to it in the show notes for the show. I'm a member of it and it's super, super fun and inspiring. So I'm really excited you're building that. But what is a money story?
A money story is a belief that you have about money that may or may not be true. And more importantly, it may or may not benefit you. Mm-hmm. So we can have good money stories. We can have bad money stories.
Where do those money stories come from?
They usually come from when we're growing up, from when we're children, and what we hear, see, and acknowledge from our character providers, from our teachers, and from other individuals.
Yeah, I think I've been going down this road as a new entrepreneur and uncovering my money stories. I think mine are based out of we just didn't talk about money a lot. So I didn't really have a lot of concepts about it. I know Manette's shared some other maybe more interesting money stories, but they definitely blocked us.
We had that one as well, right? I mean, I think it was our generation in the time in which we were growing up, people didn't talk about money. You can't have a relationship with money if you don't talk about it. So how would someone know if a money story was impacting their life or their business?
One of the, for a negative money story that's impacting their life and their business would be that they would just almost get to that point and then something will happen.
Yeah.
They will have bad luck runs in threes. That's a money story. Where as soon as you're looking at, you have one thing happen, then all of a sudden you're looking for other things because you believe that it runs in threes. So if you have a negative money story, your money flow is going to be up and down, like, you know, kind of stop and go, kind of like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And it's always going to keep you on the edge of anxiety, frustration, and broke or nearly broke.
Yeah. Or one of the one I hear from my clients a lot, Lucy, is just enough.
Yes. Right?
That you make just enough to cover the bills, just enough to get you by, always just enough, but never enough, never a flow, never abundance, never profit. You know, that's why one of the reasons we're so passionate about profit is because as hard as entrepreneurs work and as insane as this beautiful journey is that we're on, there needs to be constant positive flow, right? And every business can experience those roller coasters, but it's amazing how blind we are sometimes to those money stories. Like, we're really pretty clueless about how they're running our lives.
Yeah, we actually have good experience with where we could make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But not make a lot of profit.
Yes. Yeah, you've heard, she's heard our story about, I did that in my last business.
Yeah, I think there's other people out there doing the same thing.
Right? It was that just enough, right? You know, it's like I made a lot and then I spent a lot. And I made a lot and I spent a lot. So I never had extra. I never had that abundant flow. So yeah. I personally have done a lot of work in the last 4 years around healing my money stories. And there's always, it's like any other thing, there's always layers, right, to be peeled away and worked on. So how can you just sort of start to notice and to really stop some of this hidden sabotage that you're doing to yourself around money?
So one of the first things that I would suggest is to track your thoughts so that you know what's going on. So you can find the trigger.
Great tip.
And the best way that I found for tracking my thoughts is to actually have like an index card, or now you can use your phone or a journal or something. And you would want to track it. You want to figure out, where am I starting right now?
Yeah.
That's the most important, because if you don't know where you're starting, how can you figure out how to get to where you want to go? Right. So I use 4 columns. And I put happy, sad, positive, negative.
Love it.
In this index card or on my phone. And I keep tallies of it for a couple of days just to kind of figure out, are my thoughts bringing me happiness? Are my thoughts bringing me money? Are my thoughts bringing me joy, or are they not? When I first did my very first card, I had like 95% negative or sad.
So literally you're just doing like little check marks in each of the columns to notice your thoughts, not just actually writing your thought down.
Little tally marks, like you put 4 lines and then cross them.
Yeah.
Put check marks, or you can put stars in the happy ones and circles in the other, or however you want to keep track of it.
Yeah.
And it's not to beat yourself up. Please don't think that, you know, figure it out where you're at is to beat yourself up. It's just to gauge where you're at without judging yourself, because you're an A++ student. You have learned so well from all of your environment, and you've picked up so many things from other people that you've incorporated them in your life seamlessly so that you actually think that they're yours.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. I love the little...
So how do you dig deeper? Do you dig deeper with your clients or personally to, you know, so they've gone through 2 days or 2 weeks and they've got a whole bunch of sad or negative and not a lot of happy. So they recognize something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But then it seems like, you know, for me personally, there's still a lot of deep digging to do to really uncover what that what that base money story is.
Right. In that, this is just the start. So once you start having those and you start figuring out, let's say most of them are negative, most of them are unhappy, then you try to catch the thought as it's coming out. And then you cancel it by saying something opposite.
Mm.
And then the other thing is let's say you really want to get rid of this thought. It's like repetitive. Every time you look at your wallet, you get really angry or you feel frustrated. There's an eject button for thoughts.
I love that. Just like the eject button in a car that, you know, or an airplane.
Yes.
Nice. Whether that was easy button.
And I will show you where the eject button is. If you're driving, please don't do this while you're driving. But it's actually right here.
So if you're listening and not watching the video, Lucy's pointing to the space right between your eyebrows at the top of the bridge of your nose.
Your eyebrows on the top of the bridge of your nose. And you just take your pointer finger and you gently touch it and you imagine it's a magic wand and you're pulling that thought right out of your mind.
Nice.
And then you're making a vacuum space. You're emptying that space. And then you want to put something positive. And one of the ways you can do something positive, you can say a mantra, you can say a positive affirmation, or you could start thinking something that makes you happy.
Yeah, like my beautiful daughter playing outside in the backyard. I can see her out the out the window distracting me, dancing around in the sunshine. It's a beautiful day here in Santa Barbara. I love that. It's so simple. And I have to giggle because as soon as you talked about that, it reminded me of one of my favorite parts of the Harry Potter movies, where they pull the memories out and drop them into the basin
and
the pensieve, right? And it's that similar visual of just reminding ourselves that we can remove those thoughts. And I think it's so powerful to have that physical as well as the mental and the spiritual connection to remind us to do that. I love that tip. And it also, you know, one of the questions was around, what do you do when your thoughts are racing? And I'm curious if just that physical touch point can help to calm those racing thoughts or if there's other strategies as well.
So that's one touch point to replace a negative thought. Now, if your mind is going crazy and it's all like Indy 500, this is going to really help you tame down your thoughts in 30 seconds or less. And if you're listening to the podcast, I'll explain it to you. And if you're driving, please don't do this while you're driving. But you put your index finger, your pointer finger, and your thumb together on both hands. So like you're making the okay sign.
Yeah.
And then, now the second, this is called a mudra. And most people recognize it for people who do meditations. Now, there's two more parts to this. The second part is putting the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth. And you're going to feel behind your teeth, there's a little mound that's in the center. Mm-hmm. You want to have your tip on that mound, like that. And then that closes the circuit, energetic circuit. Now you want to close your eyes and take in three deep breaths, like this. And you breathe in through your nose and out through your nose. So now on the fourth breath, you still want to breathe out, or you want the third breath, you breathe out, and then on the fourth breath, you want to breathe in focused, balanced, centered. You want to breathe out any chaos. And one more time, focused, balanced, centered, breathe it in. And then breathe out all of those loose, random thoughts. And then one last time, focused, balanced, centered. Hold it at the top, let go of your finger, let go of your tongue, breathe out through your mouth.
I love that. Beautiful.
And then as you do that, your mind completely empties out. And eventually you can get to the point where you have your eyes open. You just put your pointer finger with your thumb and the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth. And that'll help you completely focus like a laser. And it'll also stop those thoughts.
I love that.
Good stuff. Mm,
super, super simple. And it's one of those techniques that if you're finding your thoughts racing, I encourage people set timers on your phone or alarms on your phone to go off through the day to remind you to pause. And I love mudras. I know there's a lot of different ways to do that. And that's that one's really simple. So if you were listening to the podcast, her description was beautiful, but you can also go catch the video on YouTube and see Lucy doing it in action, showing you the hand movements as well as where to place your tongue and the breathing. So we encourage you to try this, but not when you're driving, right? No closing your eyes and deep breathing when you're bright.
You might be more focused than if you were texting.
Yes. Oh, yes. We had some crazy people texting and driving on the highway on our way home from LA last week.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
Go ahead. Do you want to ask the next one?
No, you go ahead.
So what is one piece of wisdom you'd like to share for people who might be I'm having a hard time talking today. For people who might be facing either a business or even a personal money challenge.
So one of the first things that I would give, the one piece of wisdom, is to really look at how this is going to help you improve. Now, it might sound counterintuitive, but a lot of times when we have a serious money challenge, when we have that frustration and we feel like curling down, that's when you need to expand yourself and your energy and start looking at it on how can I solve this? Yes. Instead of a problem, looking for the solution. Because a lot of times we get so caught up on, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? And you start getting anxiety, you start freaking out. So take the deep breath in, do the mudra, yeah, and then start looking at this. How can I find the solutions?
That's
great advice.
Putting that, yeah, positive spin on it.
And I think we certainly encounter it with our clients. We've encountered it with ourselves. And I think it must be true for a lot of people, men and women, that they really just, they can get stuck on especially money-related issues that hold them back. And they kind of end up writing their story based on their money beliefs. I read some more of your bio, and it was interesting that you're an example of someone who wrote a different story. You changed your money beliefs, and you wrote a different story. You came, you know, obviously came from some fairly hard scrabble roots, I guess is a good way to put it, poverty and those types of things. And it's neat to see someone who recognized that they could change themselves. And not only did they recognize that, they took action on that. It's pretty neat. That's a neat example, but it's true for all of us. I think either we're hiding behind those issues or we don't know we have them, but they definitely cause us to write the story of our lives in a specific way. In reality, it means we butt up against a salary barrier because we don't have it in our mind that we could actually make more money than that. I think I had that through my whole career, and I went a long way in the software mm-hmm. career and made great money. But I think my career was probably limited in part by what my vision of it, its potential was. I know that was certainly true with Manette's first business.
I definitely understand. And a lot of times as an entrepreneur or as a business owner or even a normal worker who's in a position that can expand it, we get so bogged down with our money story and our belief system and trading hours for dollars. And a lot of times when we're growing up, we have these great big huge dreams. We want to do this, we want to do that, we want to travel the world. And then all of a sudden when we become an adult, we shrink our dreams down to the size of our paycheck.
Right.
That's a great way to put it.
I think that's straight to Twitter for that one, I think.
Shrinking your dreams down to the size of your paycheck. That's a good one. So, you know, like Brad was saying, you've had a pretty crazy journey in your own life. I'd love for you to share a little bit more about your own business journey and how that roller coaster has impacted you and what you've created from some of your own experiences.
Absolutely. I've been an entrepreneur ever since I was like a child. And so I've had some really phenomenally successful businesses where I used to collect $100 bills on a normal daily basis. And I've had businesses that were just like the money pit, where I was always sinking more money in. One of the main things that helped me is to really understand that you need somebody to help you have a successful business. You can't do it alone. You're not an island. So you need to have clients, you need to have mentors, you need to have friends who are supportive. And for my own personal journey, it kind of started out a little rocky. It skyrocketed when I was my first business, and then it sunk down. Now my current business, it's been kind of like a steady flow. It's like it's a little slow plateau, and I get frustrated because I'm like, oh, there's a plateau. Why am I not growing? But right. A lot of times not growing means that I'm personally, there's something inside of me that needs to blossom, that needs to expand. And every time I hit a plateau, now I know it's time for me to pull back, to relook at everything that I'm doing, to rest,
yeah. And
then start planting the seeds. And when I say planting the seeds, that means when I start coloring, I start daydreaming, I start doing all of the creative things that were fun. And when I start having more fun again in my business, that's when I start becoming more successful and the people start calling me and I get more discovery sessions and more people are interested in working with me.
I wish everybody could hear that last part. We're certainly learning patience, but the part about
slowing down.
Yeah, taking a step back and bringing that expansiveness from a place of fun and a place of creativity is certainly for minds like ours and yours, it's crucial. We're not working in a where we're just putting out the next widget off of a factory line. It doesn't work that way. And our customers recognize when we're not coming from a flow state, from a happy state, and from an expansive state. It's certainly something I need to learn more. Yeah. We both do. But yeah, I wish everybody could hear that.
Yeah, I'm good at the creativity part, not so good at the slowing down part.
I understand. And a lot of times when, for me personally, I can't speak for you or anybody else. Once I start getting that steam going and I'm going, I feel like a runaway train at times. And then all of a sudden everything kind of gets all chaotic. And then I'm not having the balance again. And that's when I have to take like a 1 day silent retreat, or I have to take a couple of days where I literally take off. I turn off my phone. I turn off my computer. I don't answer any emails, no text messages. And it's just me, my books, my paper, my prayers, my meditations, my mudras, and I just stop. And that gives me all of the energy, and it aligns everything like this.
Yeah.
It brings everything back into alignment. But to take that day off, to take those 2 days off, even if it's on the weekend, I'm like, I get a little frantic before I do it. But then after I do it, it's like everything goes smoothly again and I smooth sail. So. Yeah. Doing that will make you go further, faster.
Yeah, it's a great example. So what advice would you give to the younger you that was just starting out?
As we were talking about being more patient, I would give my younger self the just relax, have more fun, and take self-care time. Lots of self-care time. Because everything is, it's gonna grow, and there's always ebbs and flows in our life and our business. And when you're in the ebb, just relax. When you're in the flow, go with it.
Yeah.
And when we start paddling upstream, if you start paddling upstream to my younger self, turn around. You're going in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You're supposed to go with the flow, not against the flow.
Yeah. It just doesn't work when you force it.
Correct. It doesn't.
I love what you said about the self-care part of things too. I recently wrote a 4-part series called The Healthy Entrepreneur on the blog. And, it was kind of a letter to myself, but, it's crucial. Yeah. And, you can't reach the flow state, and you can't get where you want to by not being healthy and not taking care of your mind and your body as well. So
yeah,
great advice.
So true. So I know you have a pretty big mission.
Yes.
Would you be willing to share that with people who are listening?
I would love to share my mission with people. And my current mission, from what I can see now, I know my true soul self has a way bigger mission, is to empower 100,000 women entrepreneurs who are ready to become multimillionaires. And it's not because of the money.
Yeah.
Lot, even though I'm an abundance coach, my true mission behind that is when women have money, they have more choices, they have more decisions, and they will never leave a child hungry on the street, and they will find solutions to make sure that everybody's taken care of, including themselves.
That's a beautiful, strong mission.
That's fantastic.
I've got goosebumps.
I love that you're putting it out there in the world. That's a great thing to do.
Yeah. And I love, it's a great example of a mission. If you're working on your mission for your business as we near the end of 2016, going into 2017, how specific it is, right? So it's not, I just want to help women have more abundance or more freedom or more anything. It's that you want to empower 100,000 women, and you're clear what they're going to do with the money. And it's so, so impactful. And it's one of the things that I always talk about is the more money that we have, the more people that we can serve. Right, the more clients we can serve, the more we can give away, the more generous we can be. Women are naturally generous. We're naturally collaborative, but we can't do it when we're tired, broke, and burnt out. So from that place of abundance comes change, right? The Dalai Lama says that the Western woman is going to change the world, and we can't do that without money.
That's true. That's so true. And I envision these women creating charities that will fill the gaps that are currently not being fulfilled or met.
Yeah.
Through the current charities, through the current things that are going on. And not all of them are going to start a charity or a foundation. But I see this so clearly. And it's my driving force on when I get up in the early in the morning and I put in a 8 to 10 hour day, and I feel good at the end of the day because I know my message is being reached. My tips are being reached, and the women are, my tribe is coming to me.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And watching these women unfold and break through their money stories, their money barriers, and go beyond any of their family members so that they can take care of their family too.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. I'm almost tearing up right now. So
yeah. No, it's beautiful. So beautiful. You know, one of your mini zones of genius is reading people's faces.
Yes.
And so would you just talk a little bit about that? I know we don't normally talk about tools and processes on here, but what you do is so unique, and it touched me when I received the gift of that. So I'd love for you to just share with people a little bit about this gift that you bring and how that can be just one of those first instant ahas around breaking through money stories.
Absolutely. So face reading's been around for well over 2,000 years. It's an ancient art. It's teachable, trainable, and learnable. So it's not just, oh, Lucy has a special gift. I can teach you how to do this. But what I have done is normal face reading doesn't cover what's your soul purpose or what's your money story. And so I've taken face reading and I'm teaching individuals, what is your greatest asset? Does your chin jaunt out? If your chin jaunts out, you are a problem solver. So one of your sole purposes is to solve problems for other individuals. And if you have really high cheekbones, you have lots of ambition. If they're really if they're not covered very well, if you don't have a lot of flesh on them, you might rise to power, but your ambition could also make you be a little bit cold-hearted towards other individuals.
Interesting.
But yeah, it is. But if you have a lot of padding, like I have high cheekbones, but I have lots of padding here, that means I'll rise to power, but I'll bring other people with me.
Nice. So cool. It's such a fun, beautiful technology, because it really is, I think, a strategy, but the way that you combine it with helping people see their soul gifts is really, really beautiful. And so we're coming close to the end of our time together, and I know you have a free gift for everybody, because we'd love for people to come and be members of your tribe and get to know more about what you're up to. So what are you sharing with everyone today?
I am sharing a money manifesting wealth planner, and it adds some fun things to it. Nice. And it adds, what are the top 3 to 5 things I can do this week? What does the universe do for me? Because we do rely on the universe. Yeah. And then it has the aha spaces and stuff.
Good stuff.
Nice. I love that. And where can they find that?
They can find that at lucymcmonagle.com/wealthplanner/manifestation.
Awesome. And if you're listening, there's hyphens between that, and Lucy will put it in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
So you don't have to spell it out, but it's Lucy McMonagle. So it's 2 M's. .com/wealth-planner-4-manifestations. Sounds yeah. amazing. And it sounds like a fun place to use my gel pens and my gold stars and all kinds of other cool things. So I love it. So anything else you want to add or ask?
No, this was fun. It's really neat to hear your mission and hear what you're bringing to the world. And fantastic stuff, Lucy.
Yeah, and I appreciated the very practical tips, the touching the forehead and the breathing with the mudra, also as things that people can implement right away. So thank you for bringing, like you always do, the practical and the spiritual. It's really beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. I'm so grateful, and many blessings to you and many blessings to your audience.
Thank you.
Take care and have a happy Thanksgiving.
So I'm Manette. This is Brad. We're the Path to Profit podcast. You can learn more about us at pathtoprofitacademy.com and discover more of our awesome podcast. I think this is going to be episode number 22. So we're totally on a roll, loving doing this. And don't forget to go to iTunes. Give us some comment love and tell us more about what you'd love to hear or what kind of guest you would like us to have on the show. So happy holidays to all of you, and we'll be back next week with Tina Greenbaum talking about leadership. So we got some more great guests coming your way.
Good stuff.
Thanks for listening.